This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Club Champion. Whether you're looking to find the perfect driver or the entire bag, connecting with the club fitting expert at Club Champion will put you in the best possible combination of head and shaft to maximize your swing potential. They are so confident they even guarantee your fit. If you're anything like me, you'll enjoy every second and find out more than you can ever ask about your swing. Visit www.clubchampion.com to learn more.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week from Callaway fame, his name is Zach Oakley. He's also a dominant piece of the granddaddy puzzle, unfortunately, for Team THP. Either way, Mr. Zach Oakley, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
This is actually the second time we recorded this intro, so it probably wasn't as good this time. Thanks a lot, whoever came to ring my doorbell and ruin the good times. But either way, I'm excited to have you on today because you have a huge new product you're about to release. I assume at the time of this recording going live, it will have been released. It's the new Apex Irons. Are you pumped or what?
Yeah, Dan, it's been 3.5 years since we had kind of that core Apex line. Apex 21, spring of 21 was when that launched. So we are very pumped to get the new latest and greatest, and really kind of it's more of a revolution of the Apex line, kind of a new step in the journey. So we're pretty excited for everyone to see it.
So new look, new ideas. But Apex has a long history, not just from this series of lines that's lasted, around a decade now. Obviously it has a storied past. So I think I really want to kick it off with what I would believe to be the most challenging question as it relates to how these have evolved in the last 10 years. And that is, where has Callaway sort of gone from that? And how proud are you guys of what has changed since the original Apex, at least in this stint of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you go back, you're right. It's been 10 years since the original Apex launch back in 2014. The line has evolved quite a bit. We had the original, and we had it a pro. Then we've had different versions, coming in through, utility irons, utility woods, as well as the DCB back in 21. So, I think Apex, what it means to Callaway and what it represents, it's kind of the crown jewel of the Callaway portfolio, and it really represents our best. It's our top of the line flagship product. That when you have an Apex product, that it's going to perform. It's going to have all of the best technologies that, Callaway has to offer. And, I think one of the cool things about Apex is, it has been 3.5 years, and, maybe it's kind of the inside baseball sort of thing, but it's so special. It means so much to us that if we feel like a product isn't ready, we won't launch it. I think it's one of the few brands where, you're working on development, you've got timelines you're trying to hit, you got to get product out there. But Apex is one of the, one of those brands where we will not bring something out if we're not proud and confident in what that product is. And that's why it's taken us a little bit longer to get where we are. But the wait has paid off, and we're really excited about the new ones.
I mean, it makes sense. Apex being the peak of performance. I like to look at the Apex iron as sort of a turning point for Callaway in the progression of the iron story. In fact, I remember the original release and how crazy people got about it. It's one of those irons. Just I know it's sort of repeated over the years with naming convention, but the way people speak about Apex irons is that there is a high level of expectation when they go to hit it. And I want to use that as another jumping off point for you, because there is such a ravenous following for it. There are people who believe so heavily in their Apex irons. They take it personally when things change. They very much look at it better be a positive progression, and it also better identify as an Apex Iron to me. So I guess the question there would be, as your design teams try and develop this new version of, how careful are you not to step on the toes of the folks who really have bought into the Apex story over the years?
I mean, that's a great question. And I do think it lends itself to kind of what this new version of Apex is all about. I think it was probably 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago now. Gosh, this year is flying by. But, you know, several months ago, I was actually at a retail just kind of doing a visit, you know, checking out what's going on in the field. And, you know, I actually started talking to the store associate, and he found out I work for Callaway. We're kind of talking through, and he says, "Hey, like, is my Apex coming this fall?" And I thought it was kind of interesting because he didn't say, "Hey, is Apex coming back?" He said, "Is my Apex coming back?" And I think that is a just a testament, as you said, to the people that have bought into this brand and the idea of this brand and what exactly this product brings. And so, I think that, you know, when we look at what this new version is, it really is kind of going back and focusing on the player and their needs specifically. And that's really what, you know, we do it with every product, but I think that I almost want to say getting back to our roots a little bit here with Apex and going back to what is this player's distance iron. And by the way, Apex was kind of the iron that started that. I mean, you look at the category 10 years ago, there wasn't really anything that was kind of the game improvement technologies in a player's friendly type shape. Now you look at the industry and everybody's got one, if not two, in the line. So I think, you know, what we really wanted to do with this is, you know, keep the heritage of what Apex is and what it means, but really go back to the drawing board and looking, okay, this player's distance golfer, who are they and what specifically do they need and how can we improve, how do we take the Apex brand to the next level?
So I'm going to ask the question, and maybe it's not a question, more of a reaction. I found it very interesting that I had the privilege to come out to ECPC and hit the new Apex Pro Series, which is absolutely awesome, and really enjoyed my time with CBMB. It just feels very much isolated to where you have a genuine focus to the Pro Series, and then you have a genuine focus to what's being released here. Is this an opportunity to say that you are really focusing on certain elements that support certain styles of players and that you want to share the naming convention while also really supporting the benefits of each style of iron?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we look at Apex, Apex is really kind of, it's an aspirational brand. And we will, you know, bring a product that fits all those different styles that you're talking about, all the way from the best players in the world on tour to kind of that aspirational sort of game improvement player who's looking to kind of make that jump into something that resembles what's on tour. And I think that's what, when we separated the Pro Series and what is now called the Performance Series, I think what our goal was there was to bring the better player something under the Apex brand that has that aspirational, you know, best technology. Obviously, we're trying to serve the best players in the world there. And then on the Performance Series, bring something that has a similar look and feel and all those things that you see on the better player side, but in a package that your sort of mere mortal golfer can handle. And that's really what kind of separates, I think, Apex from, you know, what, looking at AI Smoke, you know, that's really kind of the, you know, kind of the core game improvement. You know, you're really focused on distance, and you know, we have different kind of offerings that would extend even further up the chain as you look at kind of the super game improvement sort of space. But Apex is kind of that next level. I think it's more of a mindset of who you are as a golfer. Like, I really care about my game, and I think that's kind of what separates it a little bit there.
Okay. I have one more sort of toe in the water question before we really dig into it. I think one of the original experiences I had with Apex, like we're talking way back in the day, was just a a shocking level of sound quality off an iron that performed beyond what that sound quality would typically present in an iron. You know, there was an understanding back in the day that you had to make a concession to sound to accommodate for things like performance, from a consistency standpoint, from a distance standpoint, from a one bad swing might not necessarily equal bad result type of thing. There was always a concession. Then Apex came around and they're like, hey, by the way, you can get those gains and those benefits and that that support without the cost of sound. So has Apex sort of taken on a life of its own from a sound perspective, from a feedback perspective? And if that's the case, how much emotional investment from the team went into making sure that these versions of didn't make a concession there?
Well, I think that's a great question and kind of leads into some of the things we did on the latest Apex, because, you know, we talk about, okay, what are those specific needs? What are those things that this player type's looking for? And I think, you know, I think it's kind of important to kind of distinguish who they are first. So on one side, you've got maybe someone who's an accomplished player, someone who's discerning, they've got a full-time job, they got kids, they don't practice as much. That CB iron is starting to not work out as much anymore. So they're looking for something that has the sound and the look that they're used to, but in a more forgiving sort of style and package. On the other side, you've got someone who's maybe earlier in their golfing journey, someone who's coming from, you know, an AI Smoke product or, you know, a Rogue ST Max or something like that, where, you know, they're looking to kind of make that jump. And so when we look at kind of where Apex has gone, you know, we know that feel is really important. And, you know, one of the key pillars of this new version, this new line, is an elevated look and feel, because we know that those are two, as I think you used the word emotional type of experiences that you have with our product. So the way it looks on the shelf, the way it looks in the bag, the way it looks when you set it down, those are really important things. You want to have pride in what the product is that you're playing. And then the sound is another huge one, in terms of, you know, the way it feels as it goes through the turf, the way it sounds as the ball strikes the face. And so we spent a lot of time and really, one of the core stories, and upgrades to this new Apex is this Forge Body, Forge Face construction. It would probably be a surprise to most people, to hear that I don't even know if there is a game or a player's distance iron in the market right now that has a forged face and forged body. Most of them are a forged face with a cast body. And that includes Paradigm, that includes products that we've released in the past as well. The reason people do this, one, there's a cost implication, right? Forging is expensive. And two, especially when you're looking at the body, it's really hard to generate a ton of ball speed if you have a softer material that is kind of that stable base. So that's one of the things that took us a while to figure out, is how do we get that forged construction, both the face and the body, and still deliver, you know, Callaway speed and distance. What I'll say is that when you hit these, when you hear these, the sound is immensely better and softer than Apex 21. I think it's one of the first things you'll notice, as I said, when you hit this product for the first time, is that the sound and feel are much improved versus last couple iterations.
I want to continue that component of it, because I know you get a lot of tour feedback on many of your products, and I assume it's no different here. We do like to laugh at some of the commercials that exist in the world where the professional golfers hitting the latest and greatest flagship name iron, where you know that's the only time they'll ever hit it, and it's like crazy. But you know, it's not necessarily that question, but it's more like, do you get this type of product in the hand of your tour professionals and ask them their feedback on things like sound, performance, presentation overall?
You know, the tour testing component for something like this Apex, the AI 200 and AI 300, as they're now called. There's certainly, you know, we're using our tour staff. So like down at the ECPC, like the guys that are fitting the tour pros, they will definitely be involved in a lot of that process in terms of sound and feel and turf interaction. There's not as much of a tour testing component. It's not like we're going to go have Xander hit these and be like, what is your feedback? His feedback, it might be useful, but it might also not be exactly what we're looking for, right? Because he's looking for something very specific. We will do some testing with players that we think might be a good fit for it. So, for example, Rose Zhang, she used to play Apex 21. And so we've had her hit them. We got her feedback. You know, I think especially on like the LPGA tours, we'll do some testing with those players and get their feedback because they're a little bit better fit. But you know, I think it's important when, as you said, like we're doing this, I think obviously we have a world-class R&D team. We've got a lot of great fitters. There's a lot of people with a lot of experience, that have worked in and around the tour players, but it's not as important as making sure the product is right for who we're actually making it for.
Perfect. One of the things I'm curious about is for an iron like this, it's such a beautiful blend, for utility opportunity. And this is something I've done for a number of years as I've played a lot of CB irons. I've tend to lean on a more forgiving or more distance enhancing iron in, let's say, the 4 or 3 iron. Are you seeing any type of feedback there where people are saying like, I'm really interested in this club at that part of my bag?
Yeah. So Rose, actually, that was her feedback, was that she was looking to potentially put in a 4 or 5 iron, or both. And I believe she might actually have the 5 iron, out of the Olympics right now. I'm not 100% sure, but, I know that she was testing it. It's definitely something we're seeing is people putting a little extra help in the top end of the bags. And that goes across, that's tour all the way through, you know, your game improvement weekend golfer. I mean, I think the days of people playing a 4 through pitching wedge in a CB set are, there's just not a lot of them. You look at all the best players in the world. I mean, even guys like Scottie Scheffler, I mean, he's got, I think it's like a Srixon or something in his bag that he's comboing with his TaylorMade MB. So it's like all the best players in the world are doing this. It's just a better way to play golf. You don't need to put that much pressure on yourself to have to hit a 4 iron.
Right. Exactly. And that was my thought. So, well, let's focus on the individual irons. I know we've sort of danced around the conversation a bit, of what they can be, what they probably are. But I think it's worth talking a little bit about each iron individually. And, sure. You know, if you'd be interested in doing that, I think the right place to start would probably be the AI 200. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good place to start. And I think, you know, what we'll see is, you know, the core technologies between the two irons, they share them. So when we're talking about them, you're going to get both irons are going to have kind of, you know, the updates. So then we can talk a little bit about the differences. But I think one of the first things you'll notice is, one, the names have changed. So you have the AI 200, which will replace what was Apex 21. And then the AI 300 will replace what was the Apex DCB 21. And the reason we did that was, you know, as constructions change and, you know, we're adding more product to the line and bringing different solutions to golfers, it starts to get a little bit confusing. Like, well, Apex Standard, Apex DCB, Apex Pro, where do those all fit? And so we made the decision to, you know, leverage kind of one of the key technologies that we feel is a real differentiator for us, AI, excuse me. And then also go to something that's a little bit more, easier to understand, right? Intuitive. So as the number goes up in the club, the profile, forgiveness profile gets larger. As you would go down, it would become smaller. So as you can see, we have the 200, the 300, that opens the door to do 100s or 150s or whatever that is in the future. And it would be pretty intuitive where those go in the line. So that's the first thing. The second thing you'll see is, I mean, we got them on the screen right now, just how beautiful they look. And I talked about how elevated look and feel was a big part of this. You know, we've had a pretty similar design language for almost every single Apex launch, kind of that trapezoid sort of, medallion in the back. And we wanted to kind of move away from that. We still wanted it to look beautiful and have kind of share some of the things that Apex has. So you'll see the weights have come in from the Pro Series. Those are now in the latest Apex. but we really wanted to modernize the look. So, and have a nice clean hollow body construction here, you know, really kind of resembles a blade with a little bit of forgiveness almost. But, you know, that's a real big departure. The 200, the AI 200 compared to, you know, the last Apex, it's going to be a little bit smaller in profile. So a little bit less offset, a little thinner top line, still going to have the performance. If you're coming from an old Apex, whether that's 19 or 21 or, you know, one of the earlier ones, you're still going to see something that you're like, okay, this is familiar, but just some really refined nuanced changes to shape and just profile overall.
Visually, they look awesome. I've been obsessed with the weight in the back ever since X-Forge CB, which I still maintain is probably one of the greatest irons I've ever played for an extended period of time.
Yep.
How much did that matter in the design process? How important was that to continue that presentation for you guys?
I mean, it's a big deal when you're starting to work through kind of the CAD and ID process to know whether you're going to have the weight or not, because it changes drastically. So that was upfront a decision we made. We're like, hey, we want to continue this theme. It kind of links back to the Pro Series. So even though they're going to be different platforms, there's a shared sort of brand cohesion there. And two, it does give us an advantage in terms of, you know, maintaining swing weights and being able to hit swing weights better, you know, making sure that the builds go out closer to what, you know, is expected. So that's definitely a big part of it.
One of the things I notice, and again, for those listening rather than watching, I have an image up here and it showcases a bit of a carve out between the sole and the top line. And it looks like there's a little bit of extra material at that top line portion. Is that more of a visual thing, or is that intended to support weight location?
It's a little bit of both, right? I think there's definitely some visual representation there to kind of, you know, help with confidence and all that stuff. But there is a reason we do that, right? We're able to kind of move some of that weight that's in the middle and put it actually more towards where the sole is to get our CGs and MOI numbers where we want them. So it's a little bit of both.
I mean, they look fantastic. My question to you is, what's the feedback on specifically these irons when it comes to added dress? Are they going to look a little bit more bulky, or are they going to look still really streamlined?
No, they're going to look streamlined. I'd say if anything, they might look a little bit clean. They're going to be cleaned up versus what you've looked at in the past. If you're looking at an Apex 21, they're going to look, you're still going to have confidence when you look down at them, but they're going to be a little bit smaller in profile. It's very, very nuanced. Don't hear what I'm not saying. It's still going to be kind of that core player's distance iron, but I think we've done it in a way where you're still going to be able to look down and say, yep, I can handle this. But it's in it's just, like you said, a streamlined sort of package. And that actually applies to both the AI 300 and the AI 200 compared to their predecessors. Both of them got, you know, maybe just kicked over just a little bit towards a slightly better player version of what their sort of predecessors were. But both will be very similar in performance. I don't think you're going to be like, well, I can't handle the AI 200 after you're coming from an Apex 21. That's not the case. You'll be able to hit these no problem.
Okay. Is there a real primary target audience for the AI 200? Is there like a real focus on what this would be geared toward?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the perfect person I could use to describe who this is for is someone like Jason Finley. Someone
perfect.
Who was once a really good player. He's still a great player, but, you know, someone who just doesn't have the juice anymore to hit the CBs, but still wants that kind of friendly shape, wants a little bit of that distance back. I think that's a good example. I think, you know, there's a lot of players out there who are, you know, fairly consistent, let's say, in finding the face, but not necessarily as good as obviously a tour player. And so I think that's where fairly consistent ball strikers, you know, that this product will help, because it will be more forgiving than the CB iron. You don't want to be coming up 10 yards short on a miss hit. So I think it's for that player that really, you know, like I said, it's the person that's coming from a better player type product or a better player mindset who doesn't have time to practice anymore, or that player that is looking to kind of move from, you know, the AI Smoke, the Rogue ST Max, the kind of game improvement product, as they get a little bit better, but they're not ready to make the full jump yet. That's who this is for.
Awesome. We'll continue down the line. We have another visual up here for everyone. This is AI 300.
Yes, this is AI 300. So this product is really going to be for someone who needs a little bit higher launch. So, you know, someone who's maybe looking for a touch more forgiveness than what they can get out of the AI 200. You know, I could see someone in the long irons potentially putting these in just to kind of help if you're comboing with the 200s. You know, this is really kind of that core, you know, it's a game improvement type shape, right? So if you're someone who's like, okay, I'm in the AI Smoke, I don't really want to, or the HL, and I don't really want to jump to the AI 200, but I still want to have that forged feel and kind of be a part of that Apex aspirational club, that's who this product's for.
Yeah, visually, does it have a bit of a more compact from top to bottom profile, or is that just a visual I'm getting here?
I mean, it will be larger, with more
overall options, larger, okay,
top line, longer blade lengths than your AI 200. Compared to DCB, it would be, you know, a smidge smaller, but it's still in that sort of forgiving package. You'll see here there's kind of a little cavity carved out there. This is still technically a hollow body iron, but visually we are able to kind of carve out this cavity, and that will help us with, you know, getting the CGs deeper so you can hit it higher, easier.
So, you know, in more basic terms, it's pulling weight from that point and getting it in the right spot to support a little bit of a more notable launch angle.
Correct. So yeah, if you're someone who, you know, hits it kind of low, you know, hey, I want to be able to hold more greens, this is a good product for you.
Yeah, I like how subtle the changes are. You know, obviously picture to picture, it's a little bit easier to pick it up, but you know, when you have them in the bag and maybe they're in two different carts, you know, one of each iron, it shares enough properties where you don't really get a true sense. I think it's probably more in the performance that's gained from it. Which is a continuation of that badge profile that as you can see here, I threw a couple pictures in for the folks listening that it's just in the bag and then standalone. I mean, you guys will see it. We'll have release information and lots of that good stuff. And I'm sure Callaway will load up some great content on their website. But just from a visual perspective, what I like about this, Zach, is, you know, we're seeing different versions of, but this badging really presents well for me. It shares that, hey, we're all in this Callaway family together. This is the apex of our experience. And, you know, you have that commonality with that badging. I think it was a great decision to continue it. I just think they look great. I'm excited to hit them for myself. You know, we talk a little bit about the target audience and maybe it's not perfect for me, but listen, I am madly in love with support in my four iron. It's one of my favorite things to do. I've got the AI Smoke four iron in the bag right now. It's an absolute weapon for me. You know, especially on those tighter par fours or the layups on par fives, it's just so easy to hit. So the idea that something like this comes out, you know, I think every golfer should at least be curious.
Yeah. And I think one other point to note. So, you know, I think for some people, you know, I think going into the player's distance space, especially if you're a better player, one of the things that I think gives that player reservations about moving there is, you know, when you move to a hotter face, and these do have a hot face on them, typically, you know, you can see some variations in spin consistency. You know, you get kind of that flyer hot spot on the face, and like, oh, well, shoot, I was trying to hit my 7-iron 170 yards, not 185. Now I'm over the green. We made sure that was one of our core focuses. So we talk about the kind of the three things. One of them was the feel. The other was distance and kind of this idea of it's got to look good. It's got to feel good. It's got to have lots of speed. But the last thing was spin consistency. And so we actually took the same platform from AI Smoke, the AI Smart Face that we released earlier this year. And just as a recap, that's basically taking, you know, our AI, you know, computer, that process, and feeding it real golfer swings to design a face that's going to help with those tendencies. And so we looked at players that would be kind of the target market here. I think for the AI 200, it was like handicaps 5 to 12, and then 12 and up for the AI 300, but really focused on trying to make sure the spin consistency was there, because we're not going to put, you know, a hot face in an Apex product if we can't make sure that the land angles are good, that the spin consistency is good, and that you're not going to see flyers out of the rough. That was a huge focus for us.
I'd like to hear a bit more about that. And I think everyone's quite curious, because AI is in the name. It's obviously a really relevant component to this conversation. We've seen the marketing on the drivers. We've seen this, everyone's seen the visual, the percentages around the face. And frankly, you and I and JB and other Zach were, you know, laughing about hitting bad shots of drivers on the golf course in December, and saying, I don't deserve the distance I just got out of this. So, you know, there's obviously a high level of expectation when you see the word or the notation AI on something coming from Callaway, that there will be massive benefits to playing that product. Is there a lot of that carryover in these irons?
Yeah, it's a very similar process, right? AI is a tool. It's only as good as the feedback that you're putting into it. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to like mess with ChatGPT or any of those things, but it's very similar in concept, in the sense that like the better information you give it, the better results you're going to get from it. And so that's really what we're trying to do, is leverage, you know, this, you know, world-class computing power when it comes to AI. But doing it, you got to do it right. You have to have the right inputs. You got to have the right prompts. You got to have all the right information that you're feeding into it. So, you know, for us, it is a huge design tool. We use it dang near everything we do in R&D. And so, you know, a lot of things matter, right? Face material, you know, the construction piece. Like, there's a lot of different things we can do with it that can kind of feed into the system. And it will give us that specific face of like, okay, we know this player, you know, from the swings that we've seen, we know that this player delivers a golf club this way, and they, you know, typically struggle with, let's say it's a toe miss in this little section. We can make a face design that's going to help you add spin, take spin off, help launch, all those different things to kind of, I guess, mitigate the miss that you would experience. So, and that's really one of the things that we think is, it's not going away. AI's, you know, it's here to stay, not just at Callaway, but in the world. And so I think we feel really confident in our design process, and it allows us to do different things, not just in irons, but, you know, across the different product lines. You know, you can kind of get away from maybe some of the traditional norms that you would use in golf club design, because you have this tool on the face that no one else has. So it's pretty interesting. You know, more to come on that in the future, but it's exciting.
So this AI thing, and I want to go back a little bit on the data capture, because I thought that was an interesting point you made. We are sort of at the precipice of a mountain of data being collected from a golf perspective, and really incorporating that into design. You have fittings, you track data points, you have, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of ball strikes with your products. Is all of that incorporated into this discussion? So it's not necessarily like hypotheticals where you just type into the iron Byron, oh, go an over the top move with, you know, toe center strikes. I think that's a misnomer that a lot of people don't recognize, that it goes so much deeper than that now in design.
Yeah, no, I mean, it literally is like we have, you know, a bunch of fitters across the country. We have a bunch of people coming in and doing testing at the ECPC. And we're actually using those swings. Dave Neville likes to talk about, you know, his swing was used to make the AI 200. So, and that's like not a joke. Like, his swing was one of the ones that was captured, right? And so it's a real thing. And we are segmenting the data based on, you know, the different handicaps, different swing speeds, all the things, right? And you can look at it and splice it different ways. And, you know, we have a lot of engineers that are a lot smarter than me that do that. But it's definitely not just let's click a button and see what happens. It's a real data that's being put into the computer and just basically iterating faster, right? I mean, that's really what it is. It's giving us kind of the optimization that, humans could do it, but it would, you know, you wouldn't see another iron for 30 years. And by then you'd be behind the eight ball, right? So this is just speeding up our process to give optimal performance.
So one of the things that I actually sat through a couple meetings with you guys, and they talked about the AI spitting out information on the driver heads. And I know I keep coming back to that, but I think it's very recognizable for people. So I think it's a nice correlation. And it basically said it ran information until it felt that it couldn't improve it anymore. Is that level of accuracy and consistency coming into the irons as well, or is that like next steps?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the process is very similar, right? Okay. They run the iteration, they do it a bunch of times, they, okay, let's tweak this, let's tweak that, and it keeps doing its thing, and then eventually you get to a point where we're pretty happy with the performance that we're seeing, and the gains of, you know, this change or that change, it's not really making a difference. So it's basically like, okay, once we've got the construction and we've got CG locations and everything kind of fine tuned, they start running these iterations. And then, yeah, eventually we get to a point where we're like, okay, we're pretty happy with the performance based on all the input that we've put in.
Okay. Tell me a bit more about why you guys moved away from lettering or naming convention and went into a more numerical approach to the lineup.
Yeah. Oh, I think we start with DCB, right? Because that's the most obvious. That stood for deep cavity back construction. That is no longer a cavity back. So if we called it DCB, it would be kind of funky. And so that was one of the reasons, right? I think constructions are changing. Things are kind of happening. And we don't necessarily want to pin ourselves down. I think the other is just there's a lot of product in the marketplace. Not just from us, but from all the other manufacturers. And it's already really confusing for the consumer. And so we really wanted to make something simpler, more intuitive. And that's why we went to the number system, because it just becomes easier for us to slot in stuff. So you could see like, okay, like we're 200, 300, we've established where those kind of sit in the line. If you were to bring out, let's say a 400, you would know that would be more forgiving than a 300. You don't need to have some other fancy name. Same thing if you wanted to go 100 or 150 or whatever that is, you could see, okay, that's on the better player side. And so I think it's we're trying to make things easier, not more confusing. And that's one of the ways we could do that.
It's pretty interesting. And I have, I guess, one more primary question today, which would be, we haven't talked about all the irons. I'm told there's a third. Is there any truth to that?
There is some truth to that. This third iron, let me just say the vast majority of golfers are going to experience the AI 200 and the AI 300, and they're going to be great products. You know, you're going to get better feel, more distance, better spin consistency and distance control. They look great. The presentation's amazing. And they're really, you know, a perfect sort of next step in the Apex family. But we weren't done there. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. You know, it's 10 years since we launched Apex, and we wanted to do something to kind of commemorate that sort of iconic moment. And so the team has been working on a new kind of concept type product, and we're calling it the Apex Tie Fusion. And this has been in the works for 3-4 years now. I'll just say this. This is the most advanced iron that anyone's ever created.
That's a huge statement. That's a big one.
It's definitely ours. I feel confident enough to say that it's more advanced than anything else. Let's just go back real quick to the kind of premise of it. So basically what we've done is we've taken titanium. So it's the same material that you use in drivers. And we've put that on the face. We've merged that with a forged steel body. So you get really hot face, bunch of weight savings there, really stable body, going to help us with speed, going to help us with MOI. And to do that, which is, it's okay. Well, you took two materials and then it's great. No one's ever done it the way that we've done it before, because we had to go invent the process for golf to do that and then make it manufacturable. And what you're seeing is, it's a product that one looks stunning. It's going to have this black DLC finish. So it's going to look different than anything else, on the Apex, in the Apex family. Two, it is kind of geared towards a slightly better player, which I think is very interesting. Normally in these concept type products, they're packed with technology. They kind of fit more in the game improvement space. This is actually going to be kind of geared towards a better player. So like a 100 or a 150, if we were going to put a number on it. And so what you're going to see is thin top line, not that much offset, pretty short blade lengths. But you're going to get performance like you would out of like the AI 200. It's the feel is the most unique feel I've ever experienced on any product I've ever worked on here or anywhere else. The speed, it's going to be fast, right? We're going to have a fast, hot face. But the spin consistency, this is all coming from the titanium and forged body construction. The spin consistency is more akin to a CB than it is anything, any of the other sort of performance type iron. So you're getting kind of this, like, basically a CB that has like the distance of like a AI 200 in a really compact shape. I'll just say you got to go try it. You don't have to buy it, but you got to hit it, because it is amazing.
It sounds crazy. When you said it's a really unique hitting experience, is it a certain sound that it makes that's fascinating, or what is it about it?
I haven't found the right term for it yet, Dan. I've been all over the country with various customers and sales teams and whatnot, kind of, you know, showing the product and getting it out there. And the first thing that happens, so I give the presentation and I say, this is the most advanced iron ever created. And people go, okay, yeah. I say that every year, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know. But I'm not going to say that if I actually don't think that's the case. And every time I'm like, that's fine. You can roll your eyes. And then the first swing, they hit it and they're just like, whoa, what was that? It's responsive is maybe the right word. That's maybe the closest, because it has a pretty explosive feel off the face, but it's not like, okay, like hitting a driver. It still has like the softness of like a forged iron. When our Japan team was here, they were testing it and they were asking us, are you sure this is a two piece iron? This isn't a single piece forge. We're like, no, it's two piece.
Wow.
It's a really cool product, because it's one of those things where you can see the emotions and all the work that went into it, and to see it kind of perform the way that we're expecting it to perform, and actually, honestly, I think exceeding expectations. It's been a fun one to kind of show people.
It, the concept of concept irons, as I brutalize the term, is really interesting to me, because you're taking a risk on something that people are not familiar with, and it can either crash and burn or be a wild success. And respectfully, I assume that comes with an extra cost. And you know, when you're working with either fancy materials or new construction, that it does add a little bit to it. But what is it like? I'm going to back up a little bit. I know this isn't it. Like, this isn't all you're talking about. I'm sure you're looking at the next thing and are curious about that, but it hasn't fully come to fruition yet. But did this piece of it, did it surprise you as like, hey, this really does work? Or was it, this makes a lot of sense, I'm glad it works, let's have a little fun with it and see what people think?
Yeah, I think that you're right. The concept thing is kind of interesting, because we've seen, it's not just in golf, but, other industries, the concept, it is kind of an opportunity for you to test new things, try new things, see how it's received, see how it performs. It's also the first time you're doing something in a lot of cases. So there'll be a lot of things that we even learn from this product that we can make better on future products. But I think where, you know, sometimes you know, a lot of it can be, I think in the industry as just in general, I think we talk to ourselves a lot, right? Like we use big fancy terms like MOI and CG and all these things. And sometimes you can talk to yourself even on some of the concept stuff where you might be really excited about something, but maybe the consumer is like, okay, well, that's cool. But
right.
You know, I don't really know what's the hubbub's all about. And I think what's really cool about this product is that it, even if you don't understand how any of it works, it's just a really fun one to hit. And to see the technology working the way that we say it should be working. And I still think there was a lot of things that our R&D team was a little surprised at when, you know, prototypes came in and they were hitting it and they're testing it. And they're like, wow, this is really good. And so I think that's been a really fun, it's been a fun project to be a part of. So there is a cost associated with it. I actually think it's pretty appropriately priced, I'd say. It's got more technology. The look on it is badass. I don't know if I can say that, but.
Oh, you can definitely say that. Yeah.
It looks awesome. That's the first thing that people say is like, whoa, this thing looks like just so cool. It's just kind of that for that golfer that's like, hey, I'm a performance enthusiast. So maybe a lot of the THPers out there, you know, looking to, you know, we'll just say the pricing. So it's $200 a stick for the AI200, AI300, which puts you at a $1,400 set for a 7-piece set of steel irons, right? These will be $300 a stick. So it'll be $2,100. And what I think is really cool is that sometimes, like we were saying, you get these cool, maybe more expensive products and yeah, they're fine. Is it worth the extra $700 or whatever? Maybe it is to you, maybe it's not. But I think that this is the product where like I'm so confident because I've seen people hit it that you're going to be like, oh, I, even if you're like on the fence about it, it's so good that I'm not worried about it.
Well, let me put it this way. I think it's wonderful that companies are willing to put out concept products. We've seen it numerous times in the industry in the past. And the idea of people being upset about price or being upset about availability. My perspective has always been, I'm glad it's there. Even if it's not something I'm willing to pay for, or it's not something I can get my hands on, I'm glad it's there because the opportunity to try it and see what could be coming down the pipe. Because I think what a lot of people don't realize, and this is like other industries, car industry is a really good example. Most of the time it's like, how much can we push the limits? Because in 2 years they will be within sight. And exactly. You know, the opportunity to, for you guys to do that and not just have, you know, a tour player hit it or someone from R&D hit it, that you give us the chance to hit it, us mere mortals that aren't getting, you know, paid to design things. I think it's a really cool thing.
No, and that's exactly what that concept product, where that fits in the line. One, it's a cool show of innovation. We can do some cool stuff, but it is kind of a proving ground for future products, right? I mean, eventually, like I said, this is the first time anyone's ever done it this way. So we're going to get better at it. We're going to find ways to reduce our costs. And we're going to, I mean, it's just, you know, development 101, right? Over time, you're going to get better at it and things will become less of a challenge in terms of, you know, how hard something is to manufacture. And so, yeah, eventually we'll be able to, you know, that would be the idea, is that you could bring that into, you know, more your core Apex line or something like that. Right. So, it's a fun product. We didn't spend a ton of time talking about it. It's definitely kind of the, on its own little island over here, but, we're just in general, we're very excited about the entire Apex family we have coming.
Well, I think the show is a necessary connection between Apex past, and what we'll see with this release. I take it very seriously when there are products that have continuation over time, giving the opportunity for people to speak to why the change was needed, what about this maintains the presentation that people know and love. And when it comes to Apex, I think that's one of those irons that has truly withstood the test of time from a popularity standpoint. I assume that, you know, maybe not this show, but the actual thread on it when we drop the information to THPers will more than likely be one of the most active threads that exist on the site. So, you know, the opportunity to connect with you and give you the room to explain what's going on here. I think it should provide a lot of confidence and excitement for folks on THP, but I think it also gives a nice blueprint to expectations. Being that Pro is now sort of focused here and we have these two iterations here, you know, I'm gonna cross to the other side to hit the long irons, because I absolutely am obsessed with that supportive four iron profile. And if AI smoke can do it, I know I'm gonna hit something in this lineup and just freak about it. Hopefully it's not the titanium one, the Thai fusion one. But we'll see.
You're coming from, you said X4 CB. I don't know. The Thai one's going to be right.
Yeah, here it goes. Here it goes. Any final thoughts today, Zach, other than go out and hit it?
No, I think it's not every single launch that you have a product that you can be 110% confident in, right? There's always going to be like, well, I wish we'd have done this better. Or, you know, hey, I'd see, you know, this story isn't exactly where we want it to be, but this one has been really fun to work on because the performance is there, the sound is there, the look is there. It's a product that will sell itself. And those are always fun to work on. And not just because I know that the golfer's experience is going to be better. They're going to have more fun playing golf. It's a cool product that you're going to be able to sit down like on the first tee with your buddies and be like, yeah, I got the new Apex. Like that's why I do it. I think it's just, you know, I'm a golfer too. So like, I totally understand, all that. So, it's a fun one to work on.
Nice. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time today. As you imagine, there will be lots of feedback on the forums and we will have a thread on this if you feel like talking about this show in particular. But I do expect to see everyone in those release threads, because I'm sure they're all going to go crazy. Hey, if you're out there and you're playing golf this weekend, have a great time. If you're playing with Apex irons in your bag, you might want to look down at them and tell them their time might be limited. So to play well, we'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.